ever so often, a musician comes around the neighborhood that reminds me exactly why I'm not a musician. Would just rather be here and talk about it and share with all you listening right now. British multi-instrumentalist is that musician giving me a modern-day Antonio Salieri complex. He might be today's modern Mozart. Jacob Collier joins us on the checkout, and it's a great pleasure to have you here.
How's it going, brother?
He's in studio, and he's going to play for us. We have the C3 organ set up. We have the Fender Rhodes set up. We have the piano tuned and ready to go, and who knows what's going to happen here. He's mainly just dropped songs on the internet that have gone viral, millions of views and hits worldwide. I'll just give you a hint of that. Since we are a jazz station, we got to go Gershwin, A Fascinating Rhythm.
You're making the neighbors want to know why I'm always shaking just like a flipper. Each morning I get up with a song to find out not enough work has been done. I know that once it didn't matter, but now you do know when something matters. I'm so unhappy, I'm so unhappy. Won't you take today off? Decide to run along somewhere far away, or make us happy. Oh, how I long to be the man that I used to be. Fascinating rhythm, oh, won't you stop taking on me?
A Fascinating Rhythm, 14-part harmony compliments of Jacob Collier, also playing all of the tracks you hear on that recording. So if you're hearing percussion, if you're hearing keys, all of the voices, all of the harmony, everything performed by Jacob Collier in his room, in my room, as he calls it, his lab, I guess, where he's working out all of these ideas. First of all, why?
That's a really valid question. I think that room was my playground since I was an extremely little person, probably under the age of one. That was the room where the piano lived in the house, and it's where most of the music existed. And so I spent increasing amounts of time there from a very young age, and there was no reason not to carry on, I suppose. So that's why.
Not to carry on because you just had trouble making friends or something?
Because it was a world where everything was possible, you know? When I go in that room and close the door, then the walls aren't really there because it's like a sort of wonderland of sorts, you know?
So give us a picture. Like, how many instruments are we talking about in this room?
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, there are many instruments,
I guess, at least like 10 guitars, right, for instance? Right.
There are a sort of myriad of instruments. I've been a sort of avid instrument and sound collector in general. So basses of sorts, and then guitars and some strange instruments like an ektar from Bangladesh, for example, and an Appalachian Mountain dulcimer, and strange percussion instruments that I've picked up along my travels. And the piano, which is kind of like the central point of the room. And then there's a drum set, and there are two keyboards, and there's a nice double bass and things. So it's like a sort of everything I've ever invested in has gone into that space, you know, in terms of just collecting sounds, exploring things, and then layering these things on top of each other, you know, just trying to recreate songs I really like or harmonies I've been exploring or things that, you know, things like that.
I almost want to ask you, like, rapid fire in terms of all the instruments that you collect and have in your room that you play on your videos as a recording. Like, how long did it take you, for instance, to play bass guitar on your videos and feel comfortable about it?
Good question. I started on the double bass with bass. I got a double bass for something like my 14th birthday. And it was this crazy big thing that I didn't really understand, but soon learned about the thing with fourths, the strings are tuned in fourths. And once you understand fourths, then you understand guitars a little bit, and you understand bass guitars and stuff like that. So the bass guitar was a natural transition from up to middle, I suppose. And I played around with it for a number of years, I guess, you know, a couple of years. But for me, I found that always my understanding of music has always been ahead of my technical ability. So it's like trying to catch up with my brain, with on my hands are trying to catch up with my brain. So with bass guitar, I knew how it felt to dig the back of the beat, but playing it was something that I came to learn how to do, just from experimenting and immersing myself in that world. You know, I guess it was like that.
This is just me guessing and seeing your performance at Summer Stage. Maybe the instrument that might be the biggest Rubik's Cube for you might be the drums or the trap set. Is that accurate? Is that true?
Yeah, I mean, the drums, again, it's a situation where rhythm is something I can relate to a lot, and the drum set is one of the things that people do rhythm on, you know. So, it's always, I mean, every time I play, it's like a sort of adventure, because it's taking something that's in my head, that is very vivid in my head, bringing that into real life. That's the joy of the room, and it's the joy of the stage when I take the room on tour with this one-man show I've got going on. Yeah.
And what it does look like, it's basically, how many instruments on stage are we talking about this solo
show? So picture this, right? Harmonizer, vocal harmonizer, which is a custom-made instrument made at MIT in Boston with Ben Bloomberg, my mate. And it's an instrument which means you can do 12 vocal harmonies on the spot. I sing a note, and the note is sampled and comes out as up to 12 notes that I'm playing. Very exciting. So that's sort of center stage. We've got like a stick bass on one side. Then there's a normally like a grand piano over here. There are two keyboards. There is a sort of percussion table with whatever I can find that makes a sound lying around. Then there's that drum set you were talking about, a guitar, and then a melodica and things like this. So it's a massive circle of different sounds. And there's me sort of running around like a mad chicken in the middle, just sort of organizing the sounds and playing them all at once.
So this technology that you're basically debuting, that was invented at MIT, is basically continuous six-part and more harmony sung by one person, which I have to say is kind of, there's a cognitive breakdown for the audience member trying to assess and process this music. Like, what is going on?
Mm.
And there's this disconnect that's happening. Are you experiencing that as like the performer on stage? You're basically debuting technology to make these sounds that people haven't heard before.
Yeah. It's so exciting to see people's reactions, because it's hard to tell how it's going to be received, you know, because these, as you say, these are sounds that haven't really been heard before, in the sense that there's only one 12-part harmonizer on earth, and it's mine, you know. So I guess it's one of those instruments that teaches you about yourself when you play it a lot, though, because everything you hear comes from your vocal cords. So if I go like or it's very, very, very different, you know, because it's that times 12. So you know, it's like a really dynamic instrument, and everything comes from my voice, which is like an instrument which I kind of understand how to get different colors out of it, but I didn't know how little I understood until I first attempted to play this harmonizer instrument. But it's a very joyful thing to play.
Do you have these insane reharms? I mean, we're talking about really complicated harmonies, arrangements of tunes. Are you thinking this in real time? Is this the way your brain is operating now?
Yeah, I tend to. I guess it's a system where I sing a note in the chord and then illustrate, sort of sketch out other notes around it, which I bring to life with my hands, but everything is from the voice. So yeah, it's a sort of spontaneous process a lot of the time. It's one that keeps me on my toes, for sure.
Well, let's listen to one of my favorite tracks of yours online, Don't Worry About a Thing, Stevie Wonder, an amazing arrangement. It's even got some like clave and Brazilian feel in there, music of Jaco Collier.
Don't you worry about a thing.
Somebody actually wrote on your Facebook page that you are actually changing the game, the recording industry game, in real time. Does it feel that way?
Well, it's like a sort of open playing field. People are discovering new ways to generate music and generate an income from that music all the time. And there are a number of different paradigms that are sort of, you know, going around to figure out the problem of the industry in 2016. I don't think too much about the industry, to be honest. I think about the music I'm making, and that's at the center of the stuff, and will always be. And I think it's the most exceptionally exciting time to be alive as a young musician. And people are really, really scared about the industry and the fact that it's so unpredictable, and the power isn't in the comfortable hands of a, you know, a record executive with a nice shirt on. You know, it's like it's someone with an idea in a house in the middle of nowhere can create things which can travel at the speed of light through the veins of the internet. And that means that people can get creative right now. Like there's no necessary reason to be creative. They can go do it. And there's never been a more opportune time to be a young creative thinker. I mean, with music, but with you know, so many other fields as well. It's a time where I think there's a joint psychology of what's going on. Where are we going with this? No one really knows. But I think it's nice to have a sort of love for your content at the center of all this, because that's what drives all of this going. You know, that love for your craft.
Well, the Fender here and the piano are feeling neglected.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
I think you gotta like play something for us.
Okay. Yeah. In the real early morning, with the sun slowly rising, I was walking out slowly, wandering free. Out in the distance, over the valley, I saw an old friend waiting for me, waiting for me. She was a young girl, she was an old soul, as fair as the ocean, timeless and free. She was my mother, she daughter. She was my lover, she was everything an old friend could be. I said, it's been such a long time since we have spoken. There's so much to say to you. wish you could tell me all that you've seen here. But we haven't got long now. Soon you'll be fading. Soon I must go. I said, ooh, 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 hey, I don't know. She said, you are a soldier, you are a father, you are a wise man, you are a friend, you were my first love, I won't forget you. Walking beside you, walking beside you. I was here when you started. I'll be here till the end. And now it's the evening. There's a moon slowly rising. Ooh. There isn't much more that I wanted to know. Wanted to know. And I am alone now. She isn't beside me no more. But I feel no sorrow. And come tomorrow.
Jacob Collier, keeping it very simple usually I'm used to hearing 30 notes at the same time, but right now you're just streamlining the process.
Streamlining, yeah.
Are you hearing though 6-part harmony when you do that? Like,
yeah. I guess it's a different kind of 6-part harmony, right?
Do you have to like shut off your brain from it sometimes just to focus on the one note?
I guess so. I mean, my mind is this crazy animal which often like runs away with ideas and manifests crazy things around things. But you know, with a song like that, that's a song from my album called In the Real Early Morning, and it's one of the moments where everything settles down and it's all very still and delicious. So it's a nice moment of calm and centeredness on an album which is very varied and full and often chaotic and wonderful, and that's a really still point, so that's a special one for me.
Hold your breath, make a wish, count to three.
1, 2, 3, come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. Take a look, and you'll see into your imagination.
Now that you're having all of these offers from all over the world, you did an amazing track with Snarky Puppy and an incredible video as well that people should watch. Now being represented by Quincy Jones, and I am sure you're getting offers all over the place. But was it that song, Pure Imagination, was that the first song that you dropped on the web that then blew up and made you an overnight sensation, as it were?
Yeah.
Imagination living Juba, you'll be free, free if you truly wish to be.
I suppose it was that one. I mean, that one was the first time I started to recognize the names of people in my inbox, you know. It was a very bizarre night, but I went to sleep. Oh, I've done it! I've finished the video, you know, and that's always a good feeling. You know,
And how long did that first video take you?
Well, so that wasn't my first video, but that was the first one that people really jumped on, like with their excitable claws, you know. But that video, I think, was about 6 days' work. So from the very beginning of the process to the very end of the process, so from pre-arrangement to completed arrangement, about 6 or 7 days. So I finished it, right? I put it onto YouTube.com. And then I went to sleep because I just went, you know, was tired. And I woke up in the morning and it was just one of those surreal things where my inbox had, you know, these crazy people. I had an email from Pat Metheny there and he said, "Oh, just Pure Imagination is fantastic. I love what you've done. You know, I can't wait for the next one." And, you know, just, you know, a whole bunch of extraordinary, you know, heroes of mine, you know, and these people had found this video, which had gone like wildfire around the world. And it's a very surreal and gratifying process. To see it's not one that I sort of invest a huge amount of emotional energy into, you know, realizing that the impact of the things I've done, and you know, I can't wait for more, you know, more affirmation from around the world. It's not really like that. It's more that I've got such a vivid world of music creation in my house. Just that other people can share that space is just such a joy, and it brings a big grin to your face, you know, when you think that that's just something I did in that room, in my old room, and people everywhere are checking it out, and it's one of those incredible miracles of the 21st century, I guess.
Well, why don't we end on a miracle then, and we can bear witness your performance in our studio, because I don't think anybody, including Herbie Hancock, who's also made it known that he's into what you're doing right now, could have ever imagined that, you know, some geek from MIT would come up with some system for you could sing like real-time sophisticated harmony and play multiple instruments on stage. Oh, by the way, I hear your concert writer is an absolute nightmare.
It's fairly complicated, yeah. There are a bunch of cool stuff, cool things happening underneath the surface of that show, yeah.
One manager said, "I don't think we can do this. Can we do this?"
Yeah, yeah. I mean, right now... We essentially built the largest show before we built any chance of making the show smaller. So in fact it was the first gig I ever did, basically ever solo, with this show, was at the Montreux Jazz Festival opening for Herbie and Chick, And that's like a big stage, you know. It's like a, you know, the big Montreux stage. And so that was designed for that setup, and they can provide lots of crazy things. And I've realized since then that people don't always know where to find this very particular stick bass and this very particular MIDI controller for the harmonizer and things like that. And so, you know, it's obviously meant that Ben and I have had to get creative with figuring that stuff out. But it's a really ongoing process, you know, figuring out how to distill that room world and take that on the road. Something that will probably never end, that process, you know.
Well, I can say for myself that people were enthralled, confused, bewildered, amazed. It was an amazing myriad of responses from your performance at Central Park. Jacob Collier, In My Room, is the recording. He's going to take us out with something. Thank you so much for joining us here.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me. So this song, most people know the Adele version of this song, but it turns out it was written by Bob Dylan, which is pretty fantastic. It's called Make You Feel My Love. And the whole world is on your case. I could offer you a simple embrace to make you feel my love. When the evening shadows and the stars appear, and there's no one there to dry your tears.